You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. I'm Reginald Atula. Luke Morrow in for John Lopez today, actually. And then, of course, Figgy Fig. And we were just talking about in the question of the day, what 24-hour business would you want in your house? And somebody said, give me a topless shoe shine in my... Is that even a business that people have to begin with? Is that a real thing?
And brother just made that up.
Which, are you about to create that business?
Topless chef that could cook all my food with no shirt.
Which that I always feel, and maybe I'm just squeamish or whatever, I'm always like, if I'm in the kitchen, I don't want clothes on.
I want clothes on.
Like, I don't feel comfortable being in the kitchen.
I'd never forget my dad. He was frying some chicken without a shirt. It was summertime. Man, that grease popped him right in on the side. He thought he got shot.
Wow.
Because the back door was open. He thought he got shot. All he heard was pop. And at that point, I'm like, I would never fry anything or cook anything shirtless. I'll be seeing people on the grill shirtless and all this. I can't do that, man.
I mean, it's hot outside, but we're going to put a t-shirt on.
Yeah, I got to have something on.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's go around the NFL segue somehow from that to this. The NFLPA, I guess, and I saw this per awful announcing. We're expecting the 18-game season to come, right? Like, Roger Goodell has talked about it with a smirk on for so long at this point.
Yeah.
So many different spaces. He's talked about it a lot. It feels damn near inevitable. Also, when you think about the NFL, the team owners and everything, they just continue to run the Players Association in these negotiations. However, it looks like that is not going to happen yet. So according to Mark Maskey of the Washington Post, the NFLPA is, quote, not expected to engage in formal negotiations with the NFL and its team owners on a potential 18-game regular season and other issues related to that until at least early next year. So we're not going to get that, you know, at this point anytime soon. So we push it off just a little bit further, but it feels like we're delaying the inevitable there, which I'm 100% good with. How have you felt just generally about the notion of moving to 18 games?
I don't like it. I didn't really like moving to 17 games, but obviously, you know, then I guess you get used to something. I still don't love it. But I think expansion is inevitable in the NFL, not only in terms of the games. So we're going to get to 18 games. It might happen when they start talking about it next year. And expansion, I think, obviously we're expanding the international games, or you always have these talks about having a team eventually. So I think we're moving in that direction. It might not happen as quick as some people think, you know, with tabling these conversations, but I just feel it's inevitable. We're going to get there. There's going to be 18 games. There's going to be more games internationally. And maybe one day in the not-so-distant future, there'll be a team even located in another part of the world. So I don't love it, but I think it's going to happen, the 18 games.
Yeah, likewise, especially if we do the thing where the NFLPA, in an attempt to maybe try and limit the wear and tear on the bodies of the players, we'll take away a preseason game and then make it a regular season game. I don't think that that's actually a fair trade, and I think that you don't allow these teams to be properly prepared for the season, so the first couple of weeks are of lesser quality, and then two, I think what you talked about, just generally watering down the regular season. But prior to this point where we get this news, there was expectation that maybe that conversation could happen this year, this summer. That's not going to be the case. It'll be pushed off at least to early next year. So we feel comfortable about that being pushed a little bit further.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
I was like, maybe the PA might find a little bit of backbone or some level of strength that we did not anticipate them being able to have and continue to push it off. But I don't imagine that.
They're going to take away a preseason game, put a regular season game there pretty much.
And it should lead to more money, of course, and then you can talk about, you could try to sell the players on, it'll trickle down into your pockets, and everyone has a price, so, maybe the bargaining chip, you get a second buy in there for players, quote-unquote player safety.
You would have to.
That's probably.
You'd have to have that give.
Yeah, I would be shocked if they didn't do that.
Which, to be honest, I think that is an under discussed part of it. I think it's necessary to try and help teams out, make it through. I think that'll make our windows of the TV schedules less good. Like during the regular season, once we start getting to those buys, and then especially when we have those weeks where, oh, there's two Monday night games, or there's two Thursday night games, or here's the Saturday game, you remember you get to that Sunday afternoon slate and you're like, why are none of these games good? I think we'll have more of those as we start filtering in more of the double buy situation.
I'm with you 100%. Too much of a good thing can become a bad thing. You might think you want a strip club in your house 24 hours a day.
Disagree.
And then
I don't like that.
Eventually, it's like, I'm kind of tired of the strip club. This is,
not
this
never.
Is gross. We got gonorrhea on the floors around here.
Whoa!
So,
whoa!
Same thing with football where We all think we want more football, but then they give you spring football and they give you the CFL in the summer. And no one's watching anyways. I know the NFL is a different animal, but one of the perks of the NFL, as you mentioned earlier, is just kind of the it used to be just once a week or twice a week, and there's only 16 games. And when you keep adding on to it, I think it does water down.
I'm curious to see when are we going to see like a dip in too much football like this, because they keep adding on to it because there's no dip in it. So I'm just wondering, when is it where we be like, man, this is too much, or this ain't working out right?
I mean, we've been, and I say we, just like the larger royal we, I think have been looking at this and saying, okay, when does that happen for a long time? I always like referencing the Mark Cuban quote of like, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Yeah. We have not reached hog status anywhere recently, and I don't know that we get it anytime soon. Like, I'm starting to get to a point where I'm like, there might not be a cliff. And that seems absurd, because there's got to be at some point where you just oversaturate. But especially when you look at the way that no other live programming does what sports does, and no other sport does what the NFL does. And because of that unique dichotomy, I just don't know that we're going to hit that spot anytime soon.
Yeah,
it's true. I don't know if it'll be soon. I think the breaking point could be when they ask too much of you. And so like right now, you need like six different streaming services to watch the games, and it costs you money just to watch the games. And then, you know, they put more games on more holidays. So now that is asking more of you to either miss a game or, you know, to have to watch your team on Christmas when you're supposed to be the fan. So I think that becomes the breaking point at a certain point. It might not happen for, another decade or two. But when they require too much of the fans, I think that's when you start to get a little turned
off. And I thought we was getting that recently a little bit, but it seemed like the numbers don't say that. The numbers still show that it's still sky high. And people are buying these streams just to watch these games and stuff.
Yeah, and the NFL has done, at least they've put in certain rules where they've been able to mitigate this. As I'm sure, they're like, that's the intention, right, is to make sure to mitigate this. They don't want to see the fall of their sport and their dominance. But the idea that there's still the primary money TV-wise is still, you know, national TV broadcasters, and they have the rule that in the local market that it still has to be broadcast on that you know, local TV, as opposed to even if it's on Netflix or Peacock or what have you. I think that if we ever get to a point where the biggest money dollars are actually with the streamers rather than Fox or or ABC or CBS, if we ever get to that point, I think that that's when, we might be pushing it. Because as Luke, you're talking about, if people are having to, like, you have to have the your subscription to Apple TV or what have you in order to watch just the baseline of games, then we get to a really bad place.
Do you think it get to a point where they add an extra day in the week for like a game? Because right now you got Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday.
Yes.
So do you think they're going to try to add like a Wednesday game, a random ass Wednesday game, or a Friday game?
I don't think Wednesday
like
would be it, because Wednesday would push the balance way too far. Like, we already talked about the short turnaround on Thursday. I think the day to look out for is Friday. Maybe it's Saturday more so, because I don't know if we talked about it before. There is like a long-term old rule that makes it so that in the fall, Fridays and Saturdays are protected because of college football. Not to get too political, but I do think that as you have more and more like politicians in the highest offices in this land that are maybe more amenable to some level of like lobbying or what have you, the NFL might get to a place where, as they have come for the NBA's corners, like Champ Slice on a YouTube page mentioning that Christmas has basically been deboed by the NFL. What happens if they say, this is the place where we can make more money by trying to get Fridays and or Saturdays, if we can get Congress to, you know, change that particular law, allow the NFL to Saturdays and Sundays, and now we get another day, we can make more money and sell packages, that could be a space as well.
Yeah, there is
it's a lot of football, man.
That's going to be the 24/7 thing. It's the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961. So even Friday nights after 6 p.m., you can't have NFL games broadcast to protect high school football. But that doesn't kick in until like the middle of September, which is why they were able to do the Friday game. What was that last year in Brazil? Because that was early September. So anyways, it's a whole thing. So there are some rules, but there's always workarounds. They've gotten more Saturday games at the end of the year, the NFL has. So
once the college football
season exactly. is over. So whenever they do have those windows, they take advantage. So I'm sure it's their dream to have games on almost every day at some point eventually.
I bet so. Especially if it's like, hey, we'll find a way to figure out. We'll give you a bye week before so that you won't have to worry about the off days or what have you. But I found that to be interesting. Some other things around the NFL. One of the big teams in the AFC, one of the teams that I actually personally am very fond of, the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, quarterback of it, He admitted that he still has one major flaw in his game that he's working on. When he was having an interview with Kevin Hart in what the show that he has that is called Cold as Balls. You know the the premise
sitting
of
in
this,
the ice.
They just sit in that cold tub, which God bless all these people that do that. That is I feel like that would be harder for me than Hot Ones as an interview kind of situation. Just sitting in the cold tub. And I know that you regulate to it, but I just don't like, I much rather take heat than cold just generally. So the cold tub is not really my forte. But I imagine the athlete, you're fine. You do this a lot.
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe I would rather risk it on like Hot Ones than in the cold tub. Props to him. I couldn't do it if I'm Kevin Hart.
No, I mean, he does that all the damn time. But in this, in the interview, he was talking about what the most difficult adjustment has been to playing in the NFL. And he didn't hesitate. His answer was just being a leader. I'm going to say being a leader, which is echoed by one of his coaches, T. Martin, who is the quarterback's coach, was talking about his vocal leadership. But he also was talking about it in a way where that's a level of growth. Vocal leadership, Martin said, when he first got there in 2021, he was the leader by play, by action. There was a lot of on his plate, and he was relatively quiet. But since he's been, you know, getting better at that or trying to get better. And the thing I thought about is, if Lamar Jackson has not been a leader to this point, and he's been that damn good, what happens if he has that level of command? Because it seems like his teammates love him.
Yeah.
What happens if he has that level of, like, vocal leadership? Where does that take that team to?
Yeah, maybe the next level. I'm surprised to hear that. I did not hear that previously. I'm hearing it for the first time in real time. And yeah, I was surprised by that. I think there's multiple ways you can lead, though, which was kind of alluded to there in that quote. And, you know, I know there's a lot of guys that aren't necessarily those extroverts or very vocal and instead lead on the field and in the performance. I am curious that if he were to add that tool to the repertoire, if that makes a big difference in the Ravens trying to get over the hump. And finally, because when you look at the Ravens and the faults, I wouldn't point to leadership as being the issue.
No.
You know, when you look at like the failures in the playoffs or even the Ravens, the way the organization runs, I would actually consider them to be just in general, not just the quarterback position, but in general to be one of the better led organizations because of the head coach and the culture and then Lamar Jackson and his playing styles.
I will say, though, their playoff exits of late have been kind of stepping on your toes and falling off at the very end. And I do wonder if your quarterback doing like the Tim Tebow, like, hey, y'all get on my back. We need to get beyond this.
True.
Maybe that's just like sports guy doing sports cliche.
Right.
But I do wonder if maybe that changes and, you know, Zay Flowers doesn't drop a couple on the goal line and Mark Andrews doesn't kind of sell in that game. You know, I do wonder if that shifts it at all. By the way, do you know how old Lamar Jackson is as a quarterback? It feels like he's played a long time, right?
Yeah, it does. 25.
28 years old.
Okay.
Along with Joe Burrow. But I saw this CBS Sports put together, like, you know, a nice chart of the ages of quarterbacks in this league. And I think the thing for me that's interesting is the youngest quarterback that is set projected to start in week one is J.J. McCarthy of the Vikings.
Yes.
After that, at age 23, you have Caleb Williams, Cam Ward, you have Drake May, and then you also have C.J. Stroud, who is 23 years of age. And I think you know the juxtaposition that I'm now going to make. How crazy is it that at 5 years younger than Lamar Jackson, that dude is already like full vocal leader?
It's true. Yeah, I think if you even break it down by month, or maybe that was in order of it too, yeah, like you just laid out, he is like the third or fourth youngest quarterback still, like when you compare the 23.
Oh, yeah, no, I just did it for effect. I put him last for effect. I don't know where he is. On
but months. Yeah, if you break it down by like the birth date, he's still like third or fourth youngest starting quarterback in the league, which is crazy. And that goes to kind of what Peyton Manning pointed out at Fanatics Fest last weekend, where he's like, man, when I was CJ's age, I was struggling just to win a playoff game or make it to the playoffs.
That is
and
true.
He's already won a playoff game. And I think you have to have, two playoff games, right? One playoff game each of his first 2 years. And so I think you have to have some sort of level of leadership to be able to achieve that at such a young age. So it's a good perspective that I think we lose track of just remembering. We're being reminded of how young he truly is, not only in his NFL career, but just age-wise when you compare him to his peers in the league.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, that was a very interesting thing that I saw, like, in seeing Lamar Jackson still talking about becoming a leader. Obviously, an incredible football player, incredible athlete, great thrower of the football, all those things. I feel great about his game. But then I look back and I go, C.J. Stroud has a lot of those types of things, and the leadership is the part that you lead with that. You lead with the intangible portions of his of his game. And maybe even, like, the people that have taken a knock on him for being maybe too sentimental and emotional, I think that that's a side that I'd rather go to as he also develops into, you know, one of the better quarterbacks in this league. Right now, before we go around the NFL, I don't know if you saw this. The NFL is doing their top 100 players of 2025, but they're doing it, they're releasing it in kind of a different way, where they're releasing like these little vignettes, like 3 to 5 minute videos on each answer. And they're doing it like two players at a time. So we have a top 100, but as of right now, I think we're 3 days in. So we have 6 of the top 100. We have 100 to 95. And so just to let you know, the people that we have up here, Leonard Williams, defensive lineman, or actually that was 99. Ladd McConkey, or Ladarius McConkey, as some people have taken to calling him because of the way he plays. He is the 100th best player in the NFL. Defensive lineman Leonard Williams of the Seahawks is 99. Aaron Jones, running back for the Vikings, 98. Drake London, 97, the wide receiver for the Falcons. 96 is Lavonte David, the linebacker for the Bucks. And then 95 is Josh Sweat, the outside linebacker, who is now with the Arizona Cardinals. But first and foremost, what the hell is this rollout? Like, are we just supposed to wait on this? Because you just have to wait until they announce all of them. We're not going to follow this all the way along, are we?
No, right. It's typical NFL that it takes 2 months to do this. But I think... I was going to say, I think it's almost, you remove some of the drama if you did it the other way, but I think you almost have to go 1 to 100 so you can see, like, oh, the 73rd guy? No, he should probably be ahead of these other guys. Like, it's hard to look at it now and be like, oh, he's ranked 95th? Okay, well.
What does that mean?
Right. I got to wait to see the other 94 names you're putting ahead of him.
Yeah, I think that's true. Like, there's a lot of these lists that go, like, let's say it's a top 10, 10 to 1, when in all reality, the fun is not who's number one and number two. Those ones feel like if we're talking who's the best quarterbacks, and you go last day, and there's only Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen left. Right. Who's the best? It's like, all right, we kind of know how this goes. It's more fun when you go last day. Who's 9 and who's 10? So yeah, that this really should go the other way.
Yeah, I know. I think they believe the drama is waiting to see who are they going to put number one. Let me check back in 6 weeks. But it's just, it's hard to have the context of this list. Like you mentioned those names right now, it means nothing to me. Cause I'd have to see who they ranked ahead of them. That's a bigger talking point to me.
All right. I will circle back around. Well, tomorrow and let you know the next dump plan.
Yeah.
We'll circle back around in a few weeks once they actually give us.
Siri, set an alarm for 6 weeks from now.
We'll see that. Sorry. Somebody said talk is so fast to understand. Sorry. I'm just trying to get through the names there, but. Regardless, you're around. That's around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, big trade that happened in the NFL. We talked about the last couple of days, but it kind of got Luke thinking about something with the Texans. Does this particular position group, is this not situated for the Super Bowl run that we're hoping the Texans make? We'll tell you what I mean next.